The sun sets on another summer at Camp Campbell. Wish we had a little time, but we gotta say goodbye. Before we do, let's look back at our summer on the shores of Lake Lilac. It's the Camp Camp Season 3 finale on Rooster Teeth Reviews, and it starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the
good evening, campers. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Camp Camp After Show as a part of Rooster Teeth Reviews. Tonight, we are talking about Episode 12 from Season 3 of Camp Camp. I am joined by my fellow counselors, Katie Cullen.
I thought you were going to say your favorite counselors. I was going to be all flattered.
Nah, never.
Well,
got to keep the confidence level at a certain thing. Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys, will you sign my yearbook before we all go?
The camps have yearbooks?
Super Guantanamo does.
Fair. And Stacey Shuttleworth.
You guys gotta write your phone numbers on my shirt.
Old school. And I'm your head counselor for the evening, Mark B. Donica. Welcome in, everybody. It's been a hell of a season, and it's what a ride Season 3 has been. We were a little unexpected of breaking up Nomad, which seemed to be right on its way to breaking all of our hearts, to getting our hearts broken by this show instead. I wanted to start with our camp activity, which is something that I look forward to every time we do one of these shows, because it's a way that we can get you, our campers at home, involved in the show. And we have and last week's was to perform your favorite line from Season 3. Now, I went back and I watched a whole bunch of the episodes, and it was less like a straight line as just a whole block of dialogue that was just really, really killer. So what we wanted to do is we put the call out to our viewers, and we got a couple of responses. Let's take a look at our first favorite line from friend of the show, Cam Commedia. Take a look and see if you can guess which episode this is from.
Drop the beat.
Now okay, I've, but the sunglasses, though.
Yep. Them booty glasses. I do have to be honest.
Rocking everywhere.
The clip was about 20 seconds long, and it was just the song. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Great work. Wow, that was a pretty fun line. And let's take a look at the other one from a friend of the show, Real Miss K. Rose.
You're supposed to be making cosmonauts. How does it feel to have a failing space program? What the fuck did you just say to me?
Beautiful. That's what I mean. It's the exchanges. It's the setup and the punchline. It's not just one particular line. So now, going to our counselors here, Katie, what was your favorite line?
I think it's because it's fresh in my mind. I gotta take it from the season finale. Mm-hmm. Wow, I think I just freaked my own mind.
Ta-da. See?
Just
that's
the
lines.
Ta-da.
Lines.
Like, okay, that's a pretty good... Just a ta-da.
And a callback to season one. Megan, what was yours?
Mine was actually one that Jen Brown came up with, although it ended up being given to another character. Mm. Everyone from the 90s is an old asshole.
We just missed that by a second. We're not assholes. We're just old. Stacey, what was yours?
Ouch. Oh,
man. I mean, I said all of us. We all are. We share it together.
This one gets funnier when it's part of the exchange, too, but it's also in the final episode. Nikki, like a wolf pack? Like a wolf pack. And she gets very
just kept going
on it.
Or like a team of scientists trying to find something. Like a wolf pack! So mine were from Lilac Summer Social. Hey, you're cool. Correct. That just because they let it linger on a shot of Arid for just an extra beat to land, and it was absolutely amazing. And secondly, and I'm a car. And following that up with Nurse Line later in the show, what was I thinking? This sports car was never going to make me happy. And I'm just totally palming Space Kid and holding him up. Let us know what your favorite lines were. We still want to see them, even though the show is going to be ending for the summer. Just use the hashtag ABTVCampCamp. Let us know. Perform your favorite line from season 3. We want to see it. Now, let's talk.
Malachroma in chat says, mine is that homeless twink looking at me? But I've been too busy to record.
Well, still, send it to us.
Whenever you can. What if your best impersonation, because mine is not up to snuff.
I'm so glad Mal brought that up, because that's my second favorite.
He's a good line.
One of those big gotcha bitch moments. But let's talk about episode 12, Camp Corp. One of the things that was really concerning was how fast we see the camp age.
Yeah.
How much time do you think has passed, Megan?
Upon first watching this episode, I thought it had been at least 5 years. Just that establishing shot with how overgrown everything on the camp was. I was like, oh my gosh, the camp has been abandoned. We're like jumping forward in time 5 years. Like, we're going to see all of the kids as teenagers.
Time skip now.
It had been like 2 weeks? Oh, Lord.
Not very long at all.
Not at all.
What was your first reaction, Katie, to seeing how overgrown the camp was?
What the hell happened? See, the best I can figure is that it was probably more like 36 hours, and this is what happens when the quartermaster is away for too long. Camp Campbell thrives on his unending life force, and so when he leaves, things just go to shit.
Terrifying. But reasonable.
I love the implications of that.
Right? He maintains this like aura that keeps the camp looking.
He's a cryptid.
He is a cryptid.
It's not too long after this where we meet our new villains, seemingly, of the rest of the episode, the Campwells.
Stacey, gosh, they're awful.
What did you think of the Campwells? Did you think there was anything like under the surface, a little bit too good to be true?
I mean, media has ruined me, so yes. I was like, oh, they're really evil, aren't they?
Just because they're corporate, they have to be evil. Right?
They're worse than Cameron Campbell.
I need to actually write that down, because media has ruined me is going to be my next shirt.
There's
dibs.
There was a lot of you never know who to trust, because with Max being one of our main voices of the entire show, and always not necessarily trusting David, sometimes things can be too good to be true, and especially how they play with reality. In the fact that there was a fisherman just living within the shores of Lake Lilac, of which one of our main characters, presumably, there was a love letter in her cubicle that they covered up the name of, but I entirely believe that it's from the son, the fisherman.
He's still alive?
probably not.
Maybe. I was going to say, that's a moment we definitely need to zoom and enhance on.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't scribbles. Be surprised if it's just a scribble.
Becca Lion Chat says, who else thought they were Campbell's parents? Or am I just weird?
Ooh.
I had that thought about partway through the episode.
And my knee-jerk reaction was, heavyweights.
Yes!
It's the two people who owned the camp initially at Heavyweights that got into financial straits and had to sign it over to Crazy Ben Stiller. So,
but the nice people.
Yes.
The actual legitimately nice people.
Yeah. Which, okay. If you look at that movie, Ben Stiller's dad is the one playing the former camp owner. Cameron Campbell's parents was definitely a good guess. Mm-hmm. And we don't. Yeah, that I was going to say, we don't see anything to refute that, but no, they refer to him by a completely different name. Yeah. He swindled them just like everybody else.
But Cam Griffin in chat says, me too, it was at Little Cameron. Oh, Little Cameron. And they acted so much older than Travis Willingham tends to do. So it was interesting to see what age and kindness and terror and money does to somebody.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a good 20 years between them at least. And I mean, they grew up. He didn't.
Mm.
He's still running from responsibility. He's not an adult.
Well, in the flashback episodes, Cam's just kind of got a gray bar on the sides of his hair. So he's definitely not that old.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I figure 40s, maybe.
Maybe.
I figure maybe they've got 10 years on him. That's enough of a difference. But it was actually, I really liked them as characters because you know, they are kind people. And yeah, even though Cameron is like, oh, yeah, that's their brand. Like, they seem like genuinely kind people. But at the end of the day, they are running a business. Mm-hmm. But they don't seem to be like the heartless sort of corporation owners. Like, they seem to be the type of business people that legitimately believe in the mission statement of whatever their corporation is. Mm-hmm.
And also I think with other Rooster Teeth productions, we're sort of tricked. Like, this is the first big corporation that hasn't been evil.
Yeah, like,
this is true.
It's not the Schnee Dust Company.
It's not Core Pirate.
No, that very, very good example. It's also, it's not anything revolving the director or anything like that.
It's not Project Freelancer. Yeah. It's not Caron Industries.
I
was like, Chiron?
There's a reason why you lead that show.
Yeah.
As we start to see the kids getting excited that, oh, I'm actually going to be going to a camp that I signed up for and possibly bettering myself. We get this moment between Max, Neil, and Nikki. Did anybody see through Max's actions, Stacey?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. He's a hurt little kid pretending he doesn't care, like textbook.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody think he went too far here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fair.
I feel like those are some pretty straightforward questions.
I mean, Neil and Nikki wear their hurt and their discomfort with the situation to separate everybody right on their sleeve. They're very vocal about it. And Max, instead, kind of lashes out at the people he should be siding with and instead goes, no, we were temporary friends at best.
What a thing to say.
I worry about his home life. Yeah. Like, a lot.
Mm. His safety nets are a little too high. Mm-hmm. But it's to this where we see that he hasn't been able to decide if he wants to go to another camp or what camp, whatever. And it's where we get the re-entrance of Cameron Campbell. And did anybody think the worst? Because he said, I finally figured out who the... Yeah, so we got one hand up. Shout out to our iTunes listeners.
Yeah.
Katie, what were you expecting from Cam at his reemergence?
I mean, part of me was expecting the, oh yeah, blame Max, because that's what they were setting it up for. Mm-hmm. But he's also going, well, I know whose problem it was, whose fault it was. And I'm sitting here going, you? Mm-hmm. And then him actually saying, mine? I was like, what? What? Yeah.
He's self-aware.
You'd think I'd get used to the show, subverting expectations, but no. Mm-hmm. No.
And I think I liked the platypus coming up to his shoulder was a nice tell that he wasn't as bad as initially thought. Or when we got that flashback episode of people of the platypus eggs hatching, maybe there was an imprint or something like that. But it was a nonverbal expression that Cameron Campbell isn't the same one that we've seen previously.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that, because even though we all love the platypus, it ate its young. It ate that tiny little baby.
Nature?
Is the platypus the best judge of character?
No.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but ever since the end of season 2, I've been expecting Cameron Campbell to commit a murder. Like,
again.
We were all very surprised that he didn't actually do so in the past.
I was so surprised when it turned out he didn't kill Jasper, and I was even more surprised when he didn't attempt to kill David or Max in this episode.
It was ultimately him being told that David was disappointed in him more than anything was the first step of him breaking. And I use the platypus as an example, not as an in-world thing, but as a message to us, the viewer, because it's the mascot of the show as well as the camp. And even with eating its young, it was still a moment of, it's still our platypus, we're still the pussies. So that's what I mean by sort of subverting all of our expectations a little bit.
No, and I wholly agree with you on it at a meta level. I just want to point out the fact that I'm like, let's not pretend the platypus is innocent.
did anybody think Megan, I'll start with you. We got the unholy trinity of Max, Campbell, and David working together to save the camp. Where did your mind go?
In terms of this unholy trinity, like where I thought it was going?
Yeah, or... did you think, oh, that's good. Great. This will end well.
I was concerned that it, like, I kind of figured that Cameron was going to end up double-crossing them at some point. But then there was a point where, like, partway through the show that I was almost convinced that it wasn't going to be that. Mm. That moment where they're each touching each other's shoulders, mm-hmm. having successfully worked together, like, I was genuinely touched by that moment of human warmth, even though the thing that has brought them together is ultimately chaos and destruction and manipulating people.
Different strokes, man. Different strokes.
You know? I mean, you have your neutral good, your true neutral, and your chaotic neutral. Well, at one point, they can all fit in that little Venn diagram overlap, and that's kind of where we were for a bit.
And everybody's having a good time. Mm-hmm. Is anybody... Katie, were you surprised that Gwen absolutely hates office life?
Oh, God, no.
What did you think of her accoutrements at her cubicle?
I'm glad that the Werewolf of the Month calendar came from the camp to reside with her. I appreciate that she brought that along with her. Honestly, the decorations that I noticed more were... was it Stacy was the person next door, or Laura? What was that girl's name?
Nancy.
Thank you. Was the only thing hanging in Nancy's cubicle was a to-do list that said work, go to lunch, which was crossed out, and then also said work, and don't get fired.
Yeah.
It's that. That's what stood out to me.
Good job and
fire. Was work, work, and don't get fired. And I'm like, I bet you love your job.
Yeah. I just realized my next conspiracy theory, I'm going to be rewatching the series again and following the werewolf calendar to see how much time has actually passed. I don't remember what episode I rewatched, but there was a different picture up for the calendar a couple of episodes ago. Shit.
I expect string boards and...
Zoom and enhance!
If anyone has it handy, throw it in the hashtag.
Really quickly, speaking of strange conspiracy theories, ELS Gaming commented earlier, if they would have skipped forward 5 years, that would have made Nerf 35. That's entirely true.
True fact.
And I'll come back to that in a second. But Malachrome saying, bold of you to assume that David is chaotic anything.
Excuse you, I said David was neutral good. It's the person about Becca Lee said the comparison of chaotic good and neutral.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I said he was neutral good.
Very good.
Ain't nobody at this camp lawful.
So, speaking of ain't nobody at this camp, one of the things that I love is the consistency of just in jokes and character types, and not necessarily typecasting. We make it to our first magic camp where Max is just like, whatever, I need a magic kid, which freaks Harrison out to the point where we see a new magic kid. Voiced by friend of the show, Leela Hav, which made me laugh because Lee is from Israel, and Yotam is also from Israel, and both of our magic kids have a similar accent. I thought it was just a really fun little thing of, well, no, we got to keep it, like, all of the magic kids are... but we end up finding out that it's just basic magic, no animal... No, well, the only animal work is pulling a rabbit out of the hat.
Except for when that Siberian tiger shows up in the chaos.
Well, yes. But that was 100% Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
That was none of these other kids that don't know what true magic is about. We start learning about the magic of friendship. That should be a show or something, but moving on.
I don't think it'll sell.
Probably not. It's 8 seasons. What,
more ponies.
What did you think of Magic Camp, Stacey?
It looked kind of terrible.
Right? It was just a giant open floor of people putting rabbits out of hats.
I mean, I really sympathize with Harrison on that one. All we do is pull rabbits out of hats.
Oh, what was Max's verbiage? Not hello, fellow illusionist, but abracadabra, fellow illusionist. That's what it was, just like ridiculous.
I speak the lingo. It's yeah. Like,
greeting. Like, it was greetings, fellow kids.
Pretty much with the skateboard over the shoulder and the yeah.
I love any time Michael does the I'm pretending to be happy, Max.
Legitimate happy Max.
Because you can hear the teeth grinding.
Is anybody surprised at the fact that we had an entire episode about Cameron Campbell dressing up as a kid from the 20s and everybody seeing through it, and all he needs to do is add a different mustache, still has a mustache, and goes by John Radcamp? Was anybody surprised that nobody saw through the goddamn disguise?
I'm a little bit surprised that the Campwells didn't, but the counselors, they wouldn't have known who Cameron Campbell was. They have no reason not to believe he's John Radcamp. Harrison going, why is Sam Boy Kidwell here?
That was a
beautiful brick joke, which I loved.
And showing how much Harrison actually knows about the camp that his parents signed him up for, even to the point where he's been there, he's been around, but like, no, but the one that sticks in my mind, Simon Kidwell. Jesus Christ. Now, we get this montage that at first I wasn't too much of a fan of, and I want to know everybody else's opinion, because it used a parody of This Is America. We got This Is My Summer Camp. How did everybody feel about seeing the various the tone of what a This Is America parody brings versus the silliness of Camp Camp? What did everybody think?
I mean, honestly, it wrinkles a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Camp Camp is such a weird place, like of like and going with that though.
Agreed. I at the same time I came to a place where like I think if anybody did have a problem with it, this is a group, especially they didn't have Jeremy do it, who is an in-house employee. They had Richie do it. And I think if there was a problem in between any of that of sort of tone and what they were going for, that it would have been expressed and probably avoided. But there's a reason why it was put into the show, and repeated viewings may get us to understand. But did anybody else have any other thoughts on that?
Honestly, I never cottoned on to that.
Oh, okay.
I will say that upon first viewing, it didn't occur to me either. Mm-hmm. But now that you mention it, I'm like, oh yeah, that is absolutely This Is America. Mm-hmm. And kind of realizing that, I'm like, yeah, that is a little odd. But Camp Camp is also a show. And granted, maybe I need to listen to This Is My Summer Camp in its entirety, mm-hmm. as opposed to just the excerpt that's in the episode for the purpose of the montage. But again, kind of knowing the sort of social commentary that Camp Camp doesn't shy away from, I'm not upset by it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm like, maybe that wasn't the best choice, but I'd need to hear the song in its entirety to kind of make that full judgment call.
Mm-hmm. Cam Griffin says, it was at least a parody of This Is America that could actually flow musically, and I will agree with that.
Yes!
True
story.
In this montage, we got to see a lot of the, quote, actual camps. What was everybody's favorite?
Space kid launching a literal rocket into space.
I mean, sadly, we didn't get to see a lot of the other camps. Mm-hmm. We got a good chunk of time. I wanted to see other magic camp, honestly. I wanted to see how Neris was doing with LARPing buddies, but we didn't get to see much outside of Destruction, and we didn't get to see extreme sports camp almost at all.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to sit there and say, well, I liked this one. Like, we saw a lot of magic camp. And we saw Space Kid shoot off a rocket. Mm-hmm.
And Nerf.
And Nerf.
Nerf's still technically a part of it. What was yours?
Yeah.
So I liked Neris's just because of how quickly she like saw Max and was just like, all right, yeah, let's go.
I am done.
I'm cooler than this camp.
It was so sad, actually, because Neris has been looking for group basically the entire series. And she finally gets to go to like an RPG magic camp or whatever. And at the end of the day, you know, when they come across her, she's still rolling dice by herself.
Mm.
Granted, we didn't get to see a whole lot of the rest of the camp, but like she's She's rolling dice by herself.
Becca Lai says, I understand we had a lot of characters and a montage was helpful. I, however, would have liked to see Max convince every single camper. Let's hold out for the DVD release because that would be amazing, but also a hell of a lot of work. Cam Griffin asks, what did Dolph do at art camp to get kicked out?
I'm going to follow that up with, what do you think?
I would like to think that it has nothing to do with the joke that we've been running with for the last little while.
I'd like to think that he didn't do anything in particular, but everyone else was just kind of uncomfortable.
They roll up expecting to do something, and he's just waiting with like his knapsack, like right outside. Like, oh, thank God, somebody's here to pick me up.
Yeah, I can totally see him just being like, none of these kids are true artists. Good day to you, camp.
He just left on his own. He didn't have to get chased out.
No one understands my vision.
Big fan of Nerf's Let's Burn This Fucker Down. I would have liked to see... Like, what rules? It's been a while, and he was the last person that they went to. So what had he been doing that entire time that wasn't kicking kids in the nuts? We need more of that scene.
Max inspires everyone to rebel a little bit, so he'd just been mindlessly following those rules.
I just get to punch people? Sweet.
He was well adjusted until Max came back? What a shock!
Getting a physical and learning the basics, I think.
Mm-hmm. Was anybody surprised at the hell raising that Nikki and Neil ended up doing in order to get sent back to corporate headquarters?
Oh, no.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised, but, like, my heart broke. Because, like, usually Nikki is the one that can find the positive in any sort of situation that they're in. But it's super sweet that they were united on this front, even though Max abandoned them.
At least we have each other.
Yeah.
Brother and sister.
But Nikki is also an agent of chaos, so yeah. I am in no capacity surprised that she bit a kid 7 times.
She probably didn't mean to get herself kicked out. It may not have been open rebellion, just asserting dominance. It went too far.
Like, this is how it works, right? And at Camp Campbell, it's just like, sure.
Okay. I'm the alpha now.
And anywhere else sane, it's like, what the hell are you doing?
And I loved how Muriel just almost completely loses it. Like, or you see her freak out just a little bit. I only bit one kid 7 times.
She's beautiful. Never seen this before.
No.
Kids these days with their napalm synthesizers and their biting for dominance and their Cameron Campbells and their
Fortnite. Oh, man.
Fortnite.
So I love how Neil has turned into a complete anarchist cookbook. I think if anybody's going to go too far out of our main three, it's going to be Neil. And Max is going to be like, hey, man, chill the F out.
I legit think that he was not like this before Max got a hold of him. I think he always had the potential, but I think hanging out with Max and Nikki all summer has definitely just...
Yeah. Well, especially compared to the taking over Camp Campbell episode where he was just, he went full primal and was just like, I feel uncomfortable. Like, this is a complete 180 to the point where we'll probably get a Breaking Bad parody next. Oh, we already did. Never mind. Well, there went that idea.
We got a Breaking Bad parody with a group of characters that we never would have expected.
Yeah.
But like for me looking at this, I absolutely 100% agree with what Max said when he met up with them again. Looks like I'm rubbing off on both of you. Mm-hmm. And like, whether or not they want to admit it, I think that's true but not necessarily a good way, because Neil has always been a little bit of a mad scientist, but Nikki's always been an agent of chaos, but there's never been spite in their work until they met Max. I mean, you could argue the social network episode, you could argue that was Neil having nefarious intentions, but that was more him just wanting to avoid social interactions.
It was more selfish than nefarious.
Yeah. So they've never been spiteful in their actions, mm-hmm. unless Max was involved.
Until today. So in this sort of last really, really fast sort of ending scene, we get a realization that Max is possibly seeing his future in Camp Campbell, in Cameron Campbell, to compared to the Camp Wells. And Kim ends up stealing the camp back, getting a little bit of extra coin, and having an additional moment of self-realization. How sad.
I have to wonder how much money the Campwells were going to put into this camp when he's like, and I can start my life anywhere I want. I'm like, okay, but with inflation the way it is nowadays, how big is Camp Corp?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a corporation and they've got that many camps, not including the ones that we haven't seen, if they have the supply and the budget to launch a damn rocket into space, maybe they've got a little extra coin kicking around.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Did anybody expect... So we already got Cameron's change of heart, and then it changed back. Did anybody expect for him to course correct and go back and turn himself in?
I'm not surprised it happened, but we cut so suddenly, I thought he died.
Yeah. I was like, wait,
did he just crash the bus?
Cameron Campbell Memorial.
School buses are tanks.
Mm-hmm. At least he used his blinker.
this is true.
For me, there was a part of me that thought that he was just going to take the selfish way out and just run off with the money and, you know, be sad and bitter and alone and in denial about whether or not that was actually a good thing. But, like, hearing Max go, like, hey, it turns out being, alone isn't all that great either, and pushing everyone away is no way to live. It's sad when you lose people, but, like, it's better than the alternative. Mm-hmm. And I think all season long we've been seeing that realization with Cameron Campbell. Like, so for me, this ending for him makes a lot more sense in the context of, like, a couple episodes ago, David being disappointed in him was soul-shattering. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense given all the context clues that we've had for him this season.
Okay. Let's go. A question that I want to talk about are like right at the end is we see Max having fun. And apparently, Space Kid has the density of Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy, because people can just lift him at willy-nilly and use him as a shield. Him accepting his uselessness, very silly. But what did everybody think of where we land with Max emotionally at the end of season 3 versus the end of the previous seasons? Starting with Stacey.
I think that he's still growing, but it's still been the same trajectory. Mm-hmm. It's just more outwardly open now. He's finally been able to kind of say, oh, this is actually how I feel, instead of knowing that's kind of how he feels, mm-hmm. but refusing to admit it to anyone else.
Yeah. Anybody else have thoughts on that?
Well, and we got don't push it instead of fuck off, David. Yeah. So, growth.
I've made a lot of South Park comparisons in the past, and one of my favorite things about that particular show is when all these foul-mouthed, terrible kids act like kids.
Yeah.
When, you know, even though the show comes from the mind of adults, like, every now and then the show, like, zooms back in and they act like real children. And that's how I felt in this, you know, final scene with Max, where he's legitimately laughing and playing with the other kids.
And as Andrew Evers points out in chat, that, Cam Griffin both, that when David calls out to him, he's concerned at the reaction of, like, what did I do? And is just a little bit more open with his emotions. Yeah. What a great moment. You know what else is a great moment? Getting comeuppance from an old asshole with a lot of money. we have our heading for season 3, and it's that Cameron Campbell has been returned to his camp by the Millers, which we finally get the acknowledgement of hi dads, hi sweetie. But Cam is now under the custody of David and Gwen and will be working as a counselor for season 3.
He's gonna be like an intern. I am so excited. It's almost perfect. You're gonna be taking orders from him. Now it's perfect. I'm like, dang, David.
Watch those dangs, Katie.
Technically the only person that had reference of that in the show was Gwen.
But I'm sure Gwen appreciated the hell out of that.
Landed
noise.
Solidly for us here. So what I want to ask at the table is, where do we go from here? Now that the tension of the camp sticking around has been relaxed, how will the craziness be ramped up? Megan, I'll start with you.
I thought about this a lot because that was my big question, seeing the way everything shook out, because now money is no longer an issue for the camp. I feel like for the next season, it's going to be less external issues and more ramping up, again, of these crazy personalities playing off of each other, mm-hmm. Especially in sort of the role reversal that we get for David and Cameron Campbell. But I also don't necessarily, I'm not willing to rule out those external forces either, because we still have the Wood Scouts and the Flower Scouts. I think it's possible that another camp could come in and build up a completely new rivalry with the with these guys.
Mm-hmm. Katie?
I'm just so happy. I think that so much of the... Again, I'm sure we'll have our episode of the week, theme of the week, whatever, whatever, like mm-hmm. we usually do with this show. But I would not be surprised if Cameron Campbell coming in, trying to use authority he no longer has, undermining David and Gwen, and seeing how everyone reacts, and trying to find that new normal mm-hmm. isn't an overarching theme of the next season. I just kind of want to see Cameron throw down with the quartermaster and see how that goes. Not well, I'm sure, but I would love it.
I would like to know how they met.
Yeah.
Like if... As we've mentioned before, him being a part of this site, this particular piece of land, is a part of just like, yeah, he was here, so I hired him, or like, yeah, I'm here, I'll work, whatever, kids.
He never actually hired him. He just started one day.
He just showed up in the bus.
He was just bus there.
He's slowly sucking the life force out of the children.
That's
keeping him alive.
He's a cryptid.
The quartermaster is cursed to only inhabit this small area of land.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, what I would like to see with the quartermaster, this is really random, is that he also works at all of the other camps whenever he's not needed at Camp Campbell, and we just haven't seen it yet. Like
I
he's
love that.
Like if he's landlocked to Lake Lilac, say that five times. That would be really fun.
So,
Stacey.
So what I'm hearing is the theme of next season is we are just going full on mystical. It's just
yes!
getting supernatural up in here.
Well, okay. Annabella
Q
says...
You say that like we're not already there.
Annabella Q says, can we address the quartermaster always just showing up? And we're going to.
He's a Time Lord and or possibly a cryptid and or possibly just nuts.
Mm-hmm. Gwen's going to be so disappointed. He's the Time Lord.
In much the same way that James Bond is a Time Lord. And possibly Mary Poppins.
The Doctor's not coming for you, Gwen.
He's been there all along.
He's been here the whole time. Oh. His son will. Did you have any thoughts of next season?
Not as far as, like, what big chaotic thing we're going to get. I want to see a lot, kind of a return back to the interactions between the kids and mm-hmm. kind of growing their characters.
Okay.
I think that'll be a fun thing to explore more.
Yeah, I think we're going to go back to our formats from season one, but there's going to be some underlying emotional tension that's going to... Similar to... We've said it a couple of times since RTX, but they've mentioned how, oh, we'll put a storyline episode here. Now they've all become storyline episodes. I think there's going to be one connecting thread between everything that's just going to be crazy. What story thread presented in season three do you want to see continued, or interaction, or this or that? I'll start with you this time, Stacey.
My honest answer to this was I want to find out more about the quartermaster in this area. Like, I want to know what other creatures he has control over or has had a hand in their creation.
The
like,
squirrel rebels.
Yeah, there's a lot of animal mysticism that we need to get more into.
Katie, how about you?
Arad and Neris.
Yeah.
I love that in episode two when we never see it happen again. So I legit just, I want them teaching each other their ways. I need it in my life.
Nice. Megan.
Definitely Arad and Neris as well. More Jasper.
that's like we don't
well,
see
no,
him sort
he's
of.
He's dead what? And potentially at rest.
What I want to see is David learning the truth, because the way we have it, like Jasper's spirit still has unfinished business, and it sounds like the unfinished business was telling Davy that he was sorry. Mm-hmm. And they didn't exactly tell the truth when they imparted that message. So in my mind, Jasper still has unfinished business.
Oh, sure. And I think now that the government has seized all of Cameron Campbell's property, that includes his house on Spooky Island. So there might be something that David needs to run the camp that's there that Cameron makes him go. He's like, it's not my property anymore. I can't even go close to that. And we may see that scene play out. But I agree.
But that's, I also worry about that being emotionally devastating for poor sure. David.
Oh, you're going to get David in a really good place before that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say mine. I just want to keep going down this thread of Dolph being a normal kid.
Yes.
And, because he's just a victim of circumstance, and it was nice to see the candy episode have nothing to do with him being looking like Adolf Hitler, even though we kept going off on those jokes later. It was just about him being too trusting, and I want to learn more. It's not necessarily explaining the joke and making it less funny. It's just trying to learn more about a character that we don't know too much about, literally past face level.
Yeah.
You were saying.
Oh, just chat's got some good ones. Mm-hmm. Cam Griffin wants the return of Daniel, which I need in my life.
If he's not dead.
He's not dead.
More musicals.
He also wants a history between Cameron Campbell and Miss Priss. Mm-hmm. Sam Green says the volcano, which I think has disappeared into our negative continuity hole. And also, can we get Pikeman Superior next season?
Ooh.
Yep. And Andrew Ever says Harrison's brother reappearing.
We have to go down that rabbit hole eventually.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice magic pun.
Yep.
Jeez.
And Caitlin Geddes wants more of Gwen's fanfic.
Always.
And Reggie, I think, giving us the be all and end all, Max's parents need to make an appearance.
That's wild.
I think that is like final season territory.
Yeah, that's final stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Think we're there yet.
So I'm going to skip the next question that I sent y'all just because we can talk about it on future shows. But what was your favorite character growth of the season? I'll start with you, Katie.
Dolph.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much growth as we got to see some depth.
We got to see his character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll agree with that. I'll latch onto that one. Megan?
Tabby and Arid, Aaron's, I almost called her Arid. Mm-hmm. Tabby and Aaron's realization during the summer social, them learning to disregard Sasha's peer pressure and learning to be more content with themselves. Mm-hmm. I really liked that.
Stacey?
Man, I'm a sucker for the little bratty monster children learning to be accepting and open, so Max is my...
Yeah. No mug tonight. That's fine. I latched onto Dolph's, but I do realize that we only got, although it was a double episode, we only got one episode with the Flower Scouts this season,
mm-hmm.
which was really unfortunate. But we did get the drug dealer come back in the city episode.
Never working with kids again.
Wonderful. This one may have been a little bit more complicated, but I want to talk about everybody's favorite Richie Branson songs. And it's not goodbye, it's just see you later is kind of off the table because the finale songs are usually the best of the entire season because they make mm-hmm. you feel everything. But I'm going to say I'm a Cameron Camp kid because
Same.
It hit at the exact right time. It's like the Toys R Us news happened. Hey, we need a song. I got it. Perfect. It's got a really great hook. We got to see it live. So that's for the two of us.
That was one of mine, too. Also, Dang.
Dang was good.
Love Dang.
Did you have another one?
Squares Need Love, too.
Aww.
Like, all of the songs this season have been great. But this one was just so different than everything else. It was a slow jam. It was a slow dance jam. So, it really stood out to me.
this was kind of a loaded question, but favorite outrageous moment, Megan?
Honestly, realizing that Nikki wasn't dying, but instead had just gotten her period because of the puberty serum. Like, I never expected the show to ever cross that line because most shows don't. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even a thought in my brain. And then, like, getting to talk to Lee about it, like, that was, like, that was my favorite. That's the moment this season that genuinely, truly shocked me.
Yeah, Katie?
Seeing Cameron Campbell again and with him wearing little bear slippers and a little bear head and realizing that he probably murdered a bear with his bare hands, if you will. And then yep.
That's true.
And then, how many times do I have to reassert my dominance, Classy? Just like, is this how you're been living?
I mean, everybody talks to bears now and again. Stacey, what was yours?
That's one of mine. The other is just the visual where we go full cartoon of Nikki flinging herself off the cliff after the candy.
Did Nikki just throw herself off a cliff?
And you just feel that kind of a no.
It's fine.
I mean, first season would have been, oh my gosh, Nikki threw herself off a cliff, and now it's like,
She's fine. For me, it's finding out that Nerf is 30. No, for real. I'm latching on to Nikki's last day on Earth. But I just flipping lost it. I had another one too. But there was a lot of super solid moments we're getting used to them now. That's a problem. Like
the show is spoiling us.
True. Very true. I totally forgot. I totally forgot what mine was going to be.
Space kids swearing.
No. Oh, that was good.
Or maybe I break you.
that was just such a solid episode. I'll remember mine and I'll say it later. But finally, let's talk about our favorite episodes this season. Stacey, I'll start with you.
All right. Nikki's Last Day. Great episode. And Candy Kingpin.
Very, very good choices. Episodes. Megan?
I mean, the Lilac Summer Social, if you can't tell already. That one, Nikki's Last Day, I forget the name of it, with the foreign exchange campers. Mm-hmm. And
it was called Foreign Exchange Campers.
Yeah, nailed it.
See, although I think it's Lilac, you know, the Summer Social and City. City Survival. You tripped me up because I was wanting to call it City Escape.
Really quickly, I remember my outrageous moment. Gwen and her fish boyfriend.
Yeah!
And that being fair. Real. That's like fair. The realization of this is all real was outrageous. What was your favorite episode, Katie?
I also like the Lake Lilac Summer Social and Cameron Campbell, the Camp Campbell kid. I think he's kind of become my favorite character, and I'm not sure what to think about that.
I think you should roll with
it.
What does that say about me?
That you like Travis Willingham.
I'm going to go with, just because I can just, like, see him saying these lines in the booth, and that helps.
Especially when we got to see the outtakes as well. Yes. I can totally see him in the booth. For me, Summer Social, Nikki's Last Day on Earth, Foreign Exchange Campers, and the finale was really good. I like... When shows make me think about it, and especially with the This Is My Summer Camp thing, it made me think additionally about it. Now, really quickly, because we are running out of time, and this is our last Camp episode until the holiday specials and until summer next year, I just want to get final thoughts from everybody, starting with Katie.
This was such an incredible season. Just the longer this show goes on, the better it gets. We've had an upward trajectory, and it is not slowing down. Mm-hmm. I am super excited for our holiday specials, and I am super excited for season 4.
Megan?
We had... For such an episodic comedy series, there was so much fantastic character development, really spot on jokes, outrageous humor. This season was just spot on. The only thing it was missing was another musical duet.
Yes,
it was another musical duel.
The revenge of
next season.
The revenge of Daniel.
Stacey.
The fact that they can thread a narrative just so wonderfully through the season, and the fact that we've taken that episodic format and woven a story through it. I really am into the storytelling so far. And I love that we have all these, you know, side characters who are becoming part of the main cast, and they're all together in this. Thank you.
All right, so I will try to be, especially since we're, oh boy, I will try to be succinct with this as I can, but I went through a lot of shit during the season, and it all hit at the right time. At my lowest, I was dealing with a medical issue where I had to put the show away for a little while just so that I didn't associate it with anything that was going on with me physically, because I hold it in such high esteem. And at the same time, when I came back and marathoned what I had missed, it led me to where I needed to be emotionally, maybe even spiritually. It raised me up. it also gave my wife and I one of our favorite memories in that I think that we'll have for a very long time. We were on vacation up in the mountains, and we were staying in a log cabin, and we decided that a great way to spend the night would be to marathon the entire show up at that point. And it was so much fun, and it was thanks to the show that we'll be able to directly or rather thanks to this show specifically, this after show, that we're able to directly communicate and build relationships to everybody with everybody involved in the show. So excuse me while I step up on the privilege box to address those people directly. To any and all members of the team, cast, crew, Richie Branson, thank you for creating a show that helped me personally in a time of need, as well as give my wife and I an additional escape at a time when we were working ourselves to the bone. If we had the time on the show, I would thank each and every one of you by name, but I spend way too much time on myself, so I want to thank the audience, the Camp Camp fans that have stumbled onto our humble show and become our own campers in a sense, taking part in camp activities and putting additional effort into sharing their love for the source material and spending their valuable time with us around the campfire. And finally, I want to thank this amazing panel, my co-counselors. Everyone was various levels of busy throughout this entire season, but when you were here, you gave your attention and love to something that we've all built as a community, and especially for me at a time when I necessarily couldn't be here mentally all the time, you really helped me sort of even back out. And so it's with all of that that I hold this show in such high esteem, both this after show and Camp Camp and all of the people associated to it, fans, people who work on it, etc. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank everybody truly for helping me during a difficult time. But with that, we're going to tell you our camp activity and get out of here. You have a year to do it. But just in case you find the show in between or stay with us the whole time, by the time we get back for season 4, we want to meet your campers. If you've already shown us your camper, let's see a new design. If you want to dress up as your camper, let's see that cosplay. We're building our own roster of campers too for Camp Camp Camp. And we'd love to have you along for the ride next summer. Really quickly, let's hit socials and get out of here, because next week we're returning for the Nomad of Nowhere after show. Katie.
I think that makes us camped cubes, doesn't it? Yep. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Literally everything has that username. If you like reaction videos, they live on that YouTube. Voltron is on Mondays. Attack on Titan is on Sundays. Join us. The animation channel is a ball right now.
Megan.
I'm Megan Salinas, and I'm not crying. You're crying. It's fine.
We're all crying.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over on Twitch at Inventory Full, where I stream with this awesome guy. We're going to be playing different games, and we have a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yes, we do. We finally went independent, so we're figuring a lot of stuff out, sort of throwing science at the wall to see what sticks. Follow us there on Twitch, and also make sure to follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, Instagram, a whole bunch of stuff. I just started a theme park podcast with my wife called Party of Two Podcast. If you like theme parks, action parks, whatever, please follow us. We got a couple of fun things coming up, including I have an idea for a Rooster Teeth themed episode that I'm really excited to record. But also, we made our playlist for the summer social.
Go to
tinyurl.com/RTRSummerSocial. It'll take you to Spotify, where our campers and us curated a list of some of our favorite summer jams, whether it's slow jams, fast jams. It'll get your middle school heart a-racing. But thank you so much, increasingly, for joining us for the Camp Camp After Show right here on Rooster Teeth Reviews. We'll see you next summer.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Campadio!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.